Do not look lightly upon what God is doing in this church. I can sense there's a beautiful unity. Can you sense it too? And it is worthwhile protecting. Make sure that you keep the account short. What does that mean? If your brother has done anything to offend you, make sure that you sort it out. Because there's unity that I observe here. And where there's unity, God commands his blessing. And that's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm so thrilled to be part of this family. Really, really awesome. I'm particularly grateful because a year ago, I left for South Africa, and yesterday was a big day for us as a family. And I'm just amazed at how quickly the year has progressed, right? And what God has done in our lives as a family. The Lord bless you for your kindness as a community. We love you and we appreciate you guys. So the last time I spoke about storms in our lives. Do you guys remember that? We had a bunch of hurricanes. Now this year, we are on record for the number of storms that America has faced. Isn't that madness? You know, when we look at the amount of storms in the natural that we see, then it is just absolutely flabbergasted me how much is happening in the natural and how quickly time moves. So for us to buy out the time, there's almost an urgency in me to get on with it. You know, do not sit idly around waiting for time to pass. But the more I experience what God is doing in my life, the quicker everything seems to run. This week, I had a whole bunch of things that I wanted to get done. As associate pastor, I wanted to get to the Zai family and do a visit there. But like at Friday, as you said to Nancy, man, I'm running behind schedule. There is just so much to do. So hopefully this week, I will get there. But my point being is I just look again, and it's Sunday. And I look again, and it's Sunday. Can you guys familiarize with me on that? Isn't it incredible how quickly time just flies? Now, they say time flies when you're having fun, so I must be having a heck of a lot of fun to be able to see and experience this. But there is an urgency for me, regardless of the storms in our life, to really make sure that we still fulfill God's purpose in our lives. We are called by his name. We are Christians. That's a responsibility for us because we carry the name of Christ, to live as people of the light, regardless of the storm. And if God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. In human terms, we often want to kind of circumvent the storm. And we want to try and fly around, but that's not what God has intended. Imagine Job in the Bible trying to circumvent everything that came his way, the storm that was in his life. There was no way. He finally realized this is it. He's sitting on the ash heap and he's scraping his sores. Nothing more than that. His friends have forsaken him. His wife tells him to curse God and die. These are the kind of situations, hopefully, that God won't ever take me through. But these stand as stories and as testimonies of God's faithfulness, regardless of the storm that you are facing. I dare say that each of us, in personal capacity, faces some kind of storm in one way or the other. Some are F5 tornadoes. They come from nowhere and they just completely rearrange your life. Others are just tropical depressions and we get a lot of rain and it's a little bit more uncomfortable. But through it all, you have to know that God is sovereign. And God allows these things in your life as he allows it in nature. And by means of recapping, why do storms happen in nature? They happen because they want to reset everything. There's a high pressure system followed by a low pressure system and high wind shear and low wind shear. And I don't know. I'm a musician. Forgive me, right? At least I got the mic. Aren't you proud of me? I got the mic really this week. But my point being, I'm not a weather guy, so I don't understand. But I do understand that a high pressure system is followed by a low pressure. There has to be balance. And God brings these things in your life, good or bad, but they are being brought to bring balance. David, it really is hard. You don't know what I'm facing right now. I might not know what you're facing right now, but I'm here to encourage you that the storm won't last. The storm will bring change, and there isn't change until something has changed. So if the storm is going to, if it's going to flood through your life and it's going to bring change, rather than asking God, why is the storm in my life? Rather go to God first and say, God, what do you want me to learn through this? What am I not seeing? Where am I not trusting you with every portion of my heart? So when you have lost that job or the work situation is completely topsy-turvy, instead of saying, God, why? Saying, God, what? What are you teaching me through this? Where am I supposed to be? What am I going to take through this storm, through this experience, and where am I going to take this in experience and be a blessing to others that's facing the right or the same kind of thing? Think about that. Do not ask why. Rather just say, God, what? God, where? What are you saying to me? Go to God first. So when we see these storms, there were a couple of conversations to be had. The first one is obviously a conversation between you and God. And the last time that I spoke, that was specifically that, is to try and see where God is and what he's doing in your life and to try and assimilate with what's happening. Trust him through the storm. Rely on his word and rely on his promises. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Go to God first. That's the first conversation. Because we know, as in James 1, I'm going to read for us there, Sam, if you wouldn't mind just getting that up for us. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh man, isn't that the best credentials to have? All right. To the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish his work. All right. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Confession time, it's good for the soul. Here we go. On Thursday, I've had a tough day. In particular, I'm not sure what my, but it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. And I just couldn't catch my breath because the wave was just coming. And as I get the next wave come, and it just didn't end well for me all the way to our band rehearsal with the most awesome music team in the Woodlands. I'll let you know. And then here I was, going backwards and forwards with the team. Man, they have been practicing the fruit of long-suffering. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? The fruit of long-suffering with me. Because I was chopping and changing my mind. I was like, oh man, let's take this song out. And then I feel we should do this song. And then we just go this one and then this one. And the whole team was just like trying to keep pace with me. And it just didn't turn out well. What happened? What happens? I was frustrating these guys because as a leader, I didn't really give them clear direction. All right? And they were wonderful about it. They were like, all right, diplomatic about it. Okay, that's what you feel. And in the end, I was like, okay, well, chop and change that. And that is being double-minded. Can you see that if you are double-minded, you're never going to go anywhere in life? I'm going to go on holiday. What's your first question? Where are you going to go? I don't care. As long as I'm getting in my car, I'm just going to go. What are you going to think of me? Like, maybe there's something wrong here. You know, you must at least have some kind of an idea. And then you go, okay, well, I'm going to Florida. All right. And then and what's your next question? Where in Florida are you going to go? I've been to Florida, and there's the conversation. Can you see how it works? But if I don't know where I'm going, if I haven't got clear direction on where I'm going, I'm going to be chopping and changing. I guess that's okay in life. We are not being that rigid. We have been given where God hasn't made us robots. He gives us the power of choice to a certain degree. We can choose what we want to eat. I mean, we've got those choices, where we want to go after church, who we want to spend our time with, what we want to do with our time. Does that make sense? God didn't make us robots. But if we don't have a clear understanding of where we are going, we're going to be double-minded. And what's going to happen? We're going to be unstable in all our ways. So when these storms come and we do go to God, He gives us an awesome gift. Story time. My dad, I love him. He's sitting in South Africa. I've got my parents and lawyer, Mark and Joanne from Dallas. Just wave to everybody. It's a privilege to have them here. I love them. But my dad in South Africa, he's got the funniest trade or characteristic. When you give him a gift, he doesn't open it. And I know he's going to listen to the sermon, so Dad, so I'm really sorry for putting you on the spotlight. He doesn't open the gift. And throughout my whole childhood, I couldn't understand why my dad doesn't want to open the gift that I give him on Christmas. And then I would just see that gift next to his bed. And then maybe in April, all of a sudden, the gift's open. So he wanted to retain the power to open the gift when he wanted to open the gift. Isn't that amazing? But just like that, God gives you a gift. What is the gift that God has given you? Apart from the person that you share your life with, my most awesome wife, Diane, I consider her one of the most precious gifts that God could potentially give me. All right? And my children, my family, extended family, and then of course you guys form part of that extended family. I consider each of you guys gifts to me. But God has given us something specific, and He's given us His Word as a gift. My question to you is, why are we collectively so tardy in opening and unwrapping God's gift and then enjoying God's gift? What does Hebrews 4 say? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword." Now, when you look in the Amplified, that for me was the two-edged. Now, the ladies, I know that you spoke about the word of God being a two-edged sword. It's first spoken by God, and then the second edge is the way that you speak. Have I got it right? But when we look at something as two-edged, the term that I read in this from the Amplified Bible, it says it is to bring correction and also to bring healing. So you would need to know that the two-edged sword, it judges the attitudes of the heart. And if your attitude is in line, what does the Word of God do? It kind of like, it brings further healing and it motivates you on. But if the attitude in your heart is not correct, what does the Word of God do? It brings correction and it starts to cut away. And it takes that which is not from God and it judges you. Remember what Pastor Mark says? We don't stand in judgment of the Word. The Word stands in judgment of us. True, all right? So the Word of God then brings that correction, brings that healing. But why, church? Why are we so tardy in unwrapping this beautiful gift? What are you talking about, David? It's just words. No. What does Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 says? It is God-breathed. Every single word is inspired by God. Read it yourself. I mean, I haven't asked Sam to put it up there, but it hasn't been on my notes. But I know that that is what the Bible says, that it is God-inspired, God-breathed. When else in the Bible, think with me, when else in the Bible did God breathe? Can you think? Question time. Adam, yes. God formed Adam. Out of dust He formed him. And then He breathed His Spirit. New Testament, we read that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Church, we are meant to what? Can you see where I'm going with this? We are meant to house something. We are meant to be filled with something. What are we supposed to be filled with? Which one? The Spirit and the Word. All right? Make sure that John 1:1 says, Jesus became the Word, and the Word was, you know what I'm saying? The Word, God, we were supposed to be filled with the very essence of the Lord. We are sponges, I said in the previous sermon. We need to be filled in the times of plenty. Just, man, what's going to happen if I take this sponge and throw it into a bowl of water? It's going to float to the top. Maybe for a split second, but then what's going to happen? The water's going to infiltrate it. And eventually, the sponge is going to be saturated. Does that make sense? That is what I'm talking about. Be saturated with God. How are we saturated with God? By the constant renewing of our mind. How do we get constantly renewed by our mind? Is by taking God's word, making it part of us over and over and over. Like Joshua said, Joshua 1 verse something, 8 I think. It says, therefore the word, let this law never depart from your lips. Make sure that it's part of you, that you're so saturated. Why? Because the trial is going to come. And when these trials come, as in James 1, what's going to be prodded? What's going to be pushed? What if I take that sponge out? Now I'm uncomfortable. I'm not saturated anymore. I'm not having that kosher food, that lovely cushy feeling of being surrounded by God's people. Now the rubber meets the road. That sponge is out of its comfort zone. What's oozing out? Whatever you put in. Can you see how important it is to be saturated by God's word? Because when God breathed his spirit into Adam, he made him a temple of his spirit. Do you know what? God is a holy God. When they look about the priests in the Old Testament, the priest that once he had to give atonement for their sins, that priest went in with bells on his feet. And if the people didn't hear the clanging or the clinging of those bells, they didn't know it was not Christmas anymore. They knew that that priest had died because of God's holiness. God is a holy God. Don't mess with God. Amen. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One, understanding. That doesn't mean you have to tremble. But even though God's very presence will do that to you, man, I tell you what, if God's presence was in this building right now, guess what? You would not be able to sit in your chair. You would be flat on the ground. And you say, oh God, you're holy. God says, I'm holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Do not mess with God's holiness. God is a holy God. He's a jealous God. Why is he a jealous God? He's a God that wants every single part of you. We sang a song that I wrote, bless the Lord for being able to do what I do. I don't. I humbly say that God has given me the gift and I work it. But I say in that song, it says, God, if you are not the Lord of all, you are not Lord at all. And then there's the prayer. Be Lord of all my heart. Every single part. I surrender. That's why I wrote that bridge, because I realized that every day there are certain things that I discover as we get more into the light. I discover these things, and these things get illuminated. And I say, oh, dear Lord Jesus, there's something here that you've got to work on me. I'm not perfect. My wife will attest to that. Be first in line. Thank you that you don't. But my point being is there is no one perfect, there is no one right. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but bless the Lord Jesus that there is, Romans 8, no more condemnation for those who are within Christ Jesus, submerged in Christ Jesus, saturated like a sponge in Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? How do you do that? Get into the Word. It's a gift. Please don't be tardy in opening God's gift. Second conversation that you should have. It's a conversation. First conversation with God. Run to God. When you're in trouble, when I was in trouble as a kid, where did I run to? My dad. I know I was probably going to get into trouble with him, but he's going to be the one to fix things for me. Man, I did this. Please fix it, Dad. I'm so sorry. That's what we want to do with God. That's what we have to do with God. Lord, I've messed up. Keep the account short with God. Father, that's what made David. Man, that's what made David a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was king and he could rule the joint? No. That is when he sinned with Bathsheba that he was the very next. Nathan, listen, bro, you have messed up here. He said, Lord, forgive me. Against you alone have I sinned. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Because God knows us. He knows that we sin. But being someone that is after God's own heart, someone that says, even though I've sinned, Lord Jesus, here I am, warts and all. I'm so sorry. Fix it. And if it's a storm, take me through it. First conversation. Second conversation. It's a conversation with you and yourself. What is the difference between motivation and inspiration? Have you ever thought about it? Because there's a very clear-cut difference between motivation and inspiration. Can you see, I'm not made really a bodybuilder, okay? Any bodybuilders here around? Okay. But I'm not really a bodybuilder. I'm not really a guy that does 500 push-ups every day. I guess you could tell. And that's okay. I'm sure I would love to do that. But what is the difference between someone that motivates and someone that inspires? Someone that motivates me is my gym instructor, not that I have got one, otherwise it would have looked like this. But my point is, I haven't got a gym instructor, but someone that says, okay, David, hit the floor, 50 push-ups, go, 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 you can do it, bo, 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 yes, that's more, give me five more, four more, three more. What does that do? What does he do? He's motivating me. He's prodding me. Sometimes I wish it's like a taser. There you go. Like, all right, I've got a little bit more inspiration. Still motivation. Because, can you see it happen? Oh, you can see it happen. All right. Many, many funny stories about tasers, right? But here's the thing, is that sooner or later, you're running out of motivation because the person that is motivating you might not be with you. What is inspiration? Some of these self-help gurus, fitness gurus, they say, imagine if you do 500 push-ups every day. And then they bring out the picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Miss Universe, Mr. Universe, right? You know what I'm saying? You bring out here, like, imagine you do 500 push-ups a day. Is that motivation or inspiration? Inspiration, because you're like, oh, man. Now, what happens? Because you're inspired, what happens? You start to motivate who? Yourself. And away goes the gym instructor. Amen. Can you see the difference between motivation and inspiration? 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm coming back to it. It says that the word of God, it's God breathed, inspired. All scripture is breathed out by God. Have you, Sam, have you got the amplified translation of that scripture? I just love the way that it says. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. There we go, the word of God. For teaching, correction, training, and righteousness. Have you got the amplified, Sam? No, I'm sorry. All right, so when you do, I've got it on my phone. Go read the Amplified in that scripture. It says, the word of God is inspired. Not just God breathed, but inspired. Motivated? No, inspired. So, the second conversation that you're going to have is with yourself. But what are you going to do? Are you going to motivate yourself or are you going to be inspired? You're not going to get motivation. What do when you self-motivate? You go to the mirror and say, David, you're a beast, eh? What's going to happen? For that moment, I might feel good about myself. But what happens if I actually don't feel like a beast? If I feel like a hunk? What's going to happen? I'm going to run out of motivation. Therefore, what I put in when I have this conversation with me has got to be nothing other, have you got it? Than the promises of God. Because God's word is alive and it's active, sharper than any other two-edged sword. And because it's alive, something that's alive, Pastor Mark said to me when we started 2 years ago, he said to me, man, a church that is alive, what happens to it? It grows. A church that's alive. And I tell you what, through this whole COVID scene, if we had everybody that visited our church and that has kind of decided to make us their spiritual family, there's not enough seats in this room. That's the way that God has made this community grow. Only God can do that. But the Word of God is alive, and it's supposed to grow, and it's supposed to be active. How does it active? By the word that you use, the way that you use it, and the way that you speak it, the way that you speak it, not only to those around you. We'll get to that other conversation whenever I get another opportunity to speak, but speak it to yourself. How do you make that applicable? Let's go there. Promise number one, 7 minutes. Can you bear with me? 7 minutes. Promise number one, God is with me. God is with me. And let's go. And he says, Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that is what God's word says. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Full stop. Period. Okay? But how do we make this applicable? How do we make this practical? He's saying, when you now go in front of the mirror and you look at yourself, you say, Gary, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, because God will go with you wherever you go today. Amen. On whose power do you rely when you do that? Your own? No. You don't rely on... You're a hunk. It's not that anymore. Does it make sense where I'm going with this morning? So when God says in his word and he gives us a promise, he says, I am with you until the end of days. You take that and you say, thank you, Jesus. David, remember that God is with you until the end of your days. Then you activate that word from God in your life, and it becomes alive and it becomes active. Why? Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit says to you, do you want to be successful in all you do? Bang. Then you got to do 500 push-ups. Not like that. But in a spiritual sense of the word, is do you want to be always more than a conqueror? Bang. Speak God's word. Activate God's word in your life. Let's do a couple more. If you need, I've given all of this through to our website. There's a whole list, and they've broken into 5 departments. So I'm just going to touch. There's just way too many to do, but I'm just going to read 1 or 2 more in each of these categories. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. David, today, whatever you face, and you look at yourself and you say to yourself, Bruce, whatever you face in whatever client with any legal thing, whatever you face, do not be afraid, because God will be with you. You activate it. It becomes the inspiration. It's not motivation. God's word won't ever fail. David says, Psalm 23, we so often, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You need to activate it. Stop looking for approval from those around you to get you through the day. Start by activating God's word in your life. That's promise one. God is always with me. There's plenty more. Promise two. God is always in control. What does that mean? I never have to doubt. I never have to doubt, because God is sovereign and God is in control. Proverbs 19 verse 21. I love this. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but God directs his path. That just means that I can have all the plans. Once I bring it to the submission of the feet of Jesus, and I just place, oh Lord Jesus, I don't know how to do this. These are my plans. I don't know how to go forward one more day. But there it is. Please make it happen. But your will be done, not mine. How do you activate that? You say, David, it doesn't matter what you plan, buddy. because that's the way I speak to myself. It doesn't matter what you plan when I look up. Say, God will direct your path. Make sure that you don't plan one single thing. There's the inspiration. Make sure you don't plan one single thing without consulting God. David, do you hear me? What are you doing? People are, have you heard that guy? He's speaking to himself. It's crazy. No. What are you doing? You're activating God's gift. You're opening God's gift. You're not waiting till April. Love you, Dad. You're taking God's word and you break it open. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God knows what's going to tempt you. God knows your fears. He knows your insecurities. He knows so much about you. He knows the very hairs on your head. I've spoken so many times about this. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So how do you activate that? You say, David, today, when the temptation comes, not if it comes, it will come. Temptation will come. How do you activate it? David, make sure that you look for the way out. Make sure you look for that thing. Don't fall into temptation. Do you hear me? For the sake, how's it like Hank Huff here with his dogs? No, because I love you. Do you remember that? Trey said to me the other day in the men's Bible study, he said, it's kind of like water. Do you guys remember that when he said it? It's like water. Water without boundaries is a flood. Water contained is useful. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, do not let me be tempted. But if I am tempted, David, open your eyes. Trust God for the way out. For the sake of your family. Amen. For the sake of my kingdom. Why? Because I'm an ambassador. You're an ambassador of the kingdom. Live as children of the light. Are you ready with me? Promise 3. I'm almost done. God is always good. Oh man, I tell you what. Psalm 33, 45. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Man, when the storm comes, because it will come. When the trials come, because they will come. When temptation comes, because they will come. Remember this, God is a good God. He cares for you more than what you will ever imagine, more than what you can even fathom. God loves you. Why am I going through this? Don't ask why. God, what are you trying to show me through this storm? That's the right question. And then when the storm's there, Lord, help me to be steadfast. Help me to be faithful in what I say, in what I do. Because the very power of life and death is locked up in this tongue, this thing. Spreads like a wildfire. But when you use this thing, activate it. Be the inspired God's word, the inspiration of God's word. Activate it. I cannot stress that enough. But activate it. Speak to yourself. Tell yourself, listen, this is not the end. This is not how it will end for me. This is not God's plan for my life. God's plans for me because, David, because God is a good God, He wants me to prosper. See, Jeremiah 29:11 says, see, I have got the plans. I've got plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and an outcome. Activate the word of God. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. How beautiful when Pastor Mark spoke about the generations and the way that God carries the blessing over thousands of generations, the promise that He gave Abraham. Isn't it beautiful? God's word will never, ever fail. Are you still hanging with me? Promise 4. We got 2 more minutes. God is always watching. Psalm 121 8. Sam, sorry, I know that you've got fast fingers there. But the Lord will guard you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forever. The Lord sees. It says in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. We prayed it this morning, didn't we? It says, and His ears are open to their cry. David, today when you face the trials that you're not even going to know that you're going to face, go to God first. He will hear your cry. Why? Because His word says so. Yes. Let that rise up in you. Not as motivation, but as inspiration. Why? Because it's God breathed. It's inspired by the living God. Amen. Psalm 32:8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways that you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And when the storm seems too good, promise 5, are you with me? God is always victorious. The battle belongs to the Lord. Why? Because we are fallible. We cannot make it in our own strength. Romans 8:31, we quoted it earlier. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you. David, God is for you. Joanne, God is for you. Paula, God is for you. Activate the word of God. These are gifts. God has given you so many gifts in his word. Trust me. This is the way that God wants us to have our lives in fulfillment. And I'm going to conclude, I couldn't say this, slip of the tongue. I want to conclude. How can we do this and not see God's promises fulfilled? How can we disregard what we've heard this morning? If you've never done this, if you've never trusted God, the Bible Church here, Woodlands Bible Church, we believe in restoration, teaching, purpose. If there's certain parts in your life that is so broken, you can't even see the pieces anymore, trust God to bring the pieces together. Let him restore you this morning, and we'll say a prayer, and we'll trust God to do that. But what can you do? I'm going to bat the ball. Bang, in your court this morning. What I'm going to say to you is, trust me for the next 30 days, 1 month. Just 1 month. And commit to activating God's promises in his word. Just 30 days. And do that, not in your own strength. You're not motivating yourself. Use the inspiration of God in your life. For the next 30 days, take one promise, and this will be made available on our website, so you can have all of those. And if you've got your own promises, that's great. These are just guidelines for you guys to just take. But for the next 30 days, take one promise a day. Say, David, God is with you wherever you go. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your understanding, because God will make your path straight if you do that. Activate it. It's going to take you 5 minutes. And then during the course of the day, just speak it once or twice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go to him in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you will direct my path. Thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. 30 days. Who's in? By show of hands. I'm in. I need it. No, David, you got your stuff together. No, I don't. The storms come in my life as they come in yours. Trust me. There's not a single day. Trust me. For the last 7 years, my family will tell you, we've been through so many storms. The only way I can make it is by relying on God's word. Amen. So if that's you, and don't just do lip service, you got me, David. It's all good. Make it purpose with your heart and say, God, I will take you at your word and I will activate it. Not in my strength. I'm not going to motivate myself. I'm going to forget about being a hunk. I'm going to take you, God. I'm going to take you at your word. Speak that word back to yourself. Activate it because it's inspired.